of New York at Stony Brook. This edition of Pacifica News will be rebroadcast tomorrow morning at 6:30.
This is John Lydon of Public Image Limited, and you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
Hi, this is Taj Mahal, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM, music that melts in your mind.
Hello, Long Island. This is Marley Hornick from Marley's Angels, and you are listening to WUSB in Stony Brook.
Hi, this is Bill Maher, Politically Incorrect. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510. Thank you.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
Thanks a lot, Bill. And this is WUSB in Stony Brook, in case you weren't able to glean that from the last dozen or so announcements. It's currently 6 o'clock. Time for another action-packed edition of Off the Wall, with when the CD player again conspires to get out of queue. Okay, all right, two can play this game, you know. Wow, I never saw it do that before. That implies intelligence. I had it queued up, and it took itself out of queue. Auto-queue, okay, that's good. Well, let's just play the damn thing. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. You know what it is? There's something wrong with the connection here. All right, something's definitely all fouled up. All right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that CD out of here. It's not my imagination, is it?
No, okay. Something's wrong.
Something's definitely, there's spirits in the equipment here. All right. Just bear with us for one moment while we cue up the theme. This machine has never given me any trouble. See, that's what you gotta do. You gotta talk nice to the machines. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on what can only be described as a hectic Tuesday afternoon here at the old radio station. And we have a lot to do tonight. A lot to do. More than you might expect. So we're gonna kick it off with... Actually, because that CD player is not trustworthy, I'm going to have to... No, don't do that. No. Okay, yeah, I have to take the CD out of there and put another CD in because... While we usually have two CD players, today we only have one, it appears. The other one's on strike or something like that. And I wanted to feature something that is going to be an ongoing feature here at the radio station until something happens. That's right, until something happens, until I get my way here. And what I mean by that is, we talked about this a little bit last week. We talked about how Tommy Chong got sent to prison for 9 months for selling bongs on the Internet. And, you know, I talked to a lot of people this week about that, a lot of people, many of whom didn't know who Tommy Chong was, but that's something else. But most people, the vast majority of people, had no idea it was illegal to sell bongs anywhere. You know, it was, you know, the drug thing, okay, people are freaking out over drugs, but to sell a bong, I think that's illegal? You can go to prison for selling a bong? I don't know. I'm still mystified by that, and apparently there are some laws that allow you to be prosecuted for selling things that could be used for the sole purpose of taking drugs. And apparently these people see no possible use for a bong other than to smoke marijuana. You know, I've seen people use bongs for other things. I'm not going to tell you what they were, but I've seen people use bongs for many different things. And of course, people like to collect things. That's right. People do collect things like bongs and you know, beer cans and all kinds of things like that. And they don't necessarily partake in the sin that these things imply. But I'll tell you, after hearing what happened to our friend Tommy, I'm a lot more inclined to start partaking in that again myself. And I think a lot of other people feel the same way. I've talked to a bunch of people who, as an act of civil disobedience, say, you know what, I'm going to smoke a joint in his honor. I think probably more pot has been consumed in the last week, you know, for this reason than for anything else. People have to stand up. It's a stupid thing, you know, it's a stupid thing to say, oh, I've got the right to smoke a particular substance. You know, you shouldn't have to have demonstrations about that. You shouldn't have to spend time on the radio talking about the right to smoke whatever you feel like smoking, as long as you don't hurt other people. But it looks like that's where we are. It looks like that's what we have to do, because people get sent to prison for selling bongs on the internet. Unbelievable. I just want to also say for the record, and some people have already figured this out, and we've been dropping subtle hints over the past couple of months. And anybody who knows, anybody who's in the know, has already figured it out long ago. But this program, this radio program, exists for the sole purpose of getting people to smoke dope. That's right. Now you know. That's always been the theme and back of everything. We don't come right out and say it. No, that would be too... You just don't do things like that, but it's implied, you know. If you think about things, if you journey around places, of course. What do you want to go? You're going to want to light up and you know, see things from a different perspective at some point. But we don't advocate that. But what other possible use could you have for a program like this? So that's the official purpose of Off the Wall from this point on: to get people to smoke marijuana. So now what? You send people to prison for doing radio for being a tool in the drug trade? It's silly. Anyway, so what we're going to do tonight, as part of our way of keeping people educated about this, we're going to play a piece from Tommy Chong's past, when he was with the duo Cheech and Chong, and we're going to do that every week until he's released from prison. Of course, I don't know if I have enough material, and a lot of it is unairable, unfortunately, due to the FCC regulations. But the pieces that we do air will be within those guidelines. And this also serves to answer the question a lot of people have. Who's Tommy Chong? A lot of people don't know. They think he makes jeans. Can you believe that? People actually think this guy is a fashion model or something. But for a good part of the 70s and into the 80s, he was part of the Cheech and Chong duo of comedy, put out records, made movies, things like that. And that's one of the reasons why this guy was sent to prison, because the judge saw him as somebody who made fun of law enforcement and glorified the taking of drugs. So it's not, you know, you don't have to even be, it used to be you had to be a drug dealer. Then it was, if you take the drugs yourself, you're as bad as a drug dealer. And now it's if you even talk about it, if you make fun of people that disagree with you, or if you, in their eyes, glorify things, or if you sell things that could be used to aid people that want to take drugs. Unbelievable. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a piece from Cheech and Chong tonight, and we'll do it next week, too. This one, though, is a particularly long piece, so I hope people like it. If they don't like it, well, it works both ways, because if you hate it, you'll want it to stop, and you'll want Tommy Chong to get released from prison. And if you like it, you're going to say, wow, this guy is great. He shouldn't be in prison. So either way, it works out. Anyway, in case you need to know, Cheech is the Hispanic-sounding guy, and Chong is the guy with the deep voice. But I think just about everybody knows that.
Hey, man, two more cars and we're there. Better tell those guys to be quiet.
Hey, you guys be quiet, man. We're almost at the ticket thing.
Hey, man, one more car.
Hey, shut up, you guys. Hey, man, shut up. Here comes the dude.
Hey, man, be quiet. Here he comes. Hi.
How many tonight?
Oh, how many tickets? Well, they're just me and him. We're just here together. And, I mean, like, we're not together, you know, like, that way. Like, I mean, we're going to meet some girls inside, man, you know, like, pick them up, you know. And, so I guess they're just me and him, like, so one for him and one for me. Well, that's two. We'll take two tickets. Ain't that right, man?
What's the hassle, man?
There's no hassle, man. Just
hey, are you giving us a hassle, man?
Hey, man, he ain't giving us no
hassle,
there's
only two of us, man. That's
right. There's only two of us.
That'll be $1.
Oh, $1. Hey, man, you got 50 cents? Oh, there you go. Thank you, man.
Hey, we did it, man.
Man, we were so slick, man.
Right. Hey, you're really a smooth talker, man.
Hey, man, you just gotta know how to lay it on them dudes, man.
Yeah. Hey, you're Mr. Cool when you want to be, aren't you?
Oh, cucumber head, they call me, man.
Hey, come on, let's get up by the snack bar, man.
Okay. I don't know, man. Looks pretty filled up over there, man.
Oh, we'll get one, man. Come on. Hey, look. There's one right over there. You see it?
Yeah, I see it.
Come on, let's get it.
Okay. How's that?
Oh, hey, just a minute, man. There's one right ahead of us. It's closer. Come on, let's get that one.
Where?
Right there, man. Come on, hurry up.
Okay. Yeah, how's that one?
Wow, this is great, man.
Okay.
Oh, wow! Hey, man, right beside the snack bar, man!
What?
There's a place right beside the snack bar, man. See it?
Fregon.
Well, come on, let's get it before that other dude gets it, man.
All right, here we go. Yeah, how's that?
Oh, wow, man, you drive just like Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
Hey, this is great, man. Hey, can you see?
No, I think I better back up a little bit, man. Yeah, how's that for you? Can you see?
Just a minute. No, back up a little more.
More?
Yeah.
Okay. How's that?
Just a minute. No, back up a little more, man.
More?
Just a little more.
How's that?
Just a minute. I'll put the seat back. Okay, pull it up, man.
Pull it up?
Yeah.
Okay. How's that?
A little more.
More? How's
yeah,
that
no,
there?
Just a little more, man.
More?
Yeah.
Hey, we're almost into the next
place,
man.
Oh, hold it, right. No, back up now. Okay, right there. Hold it. Stop.
All right. I'm gonna stop. Don't stop.
Okay, that's good. Okay, here, I'll get the speaker, man.
Hey, man, wait a minute.
What?
Hey, man, you hear that?
Hear what?
That knocking, man. Listen.
Why don't you turn your motor off, man?
It is off, man. Listen.
Oh, it's probably those dudes in the trunk, man.
Oh, man, I forgot about them dudes, man.
Hey, here, give me the keys, man. I'll get them out.
Hey, wait a minute, man. We can't let them out here, man. We're too close to the snack bar.
Oh, that's right. Hey, well, then pull around to the back row, man.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. Go around to the back. Hey, you guys, wait a minute, man. We're going to pull around to the back because we're right near next to the snack bar and they'll see us take you out, okay?
Yeah, hang on, man. We'll get you out of there in a minute. Hey, it looks pretty good here, man. Hey, back up to the fence so they don't see you.
Okay. Is that close enough?
Yeah, that's good, man.
Okay. Hey, here's the keys, man. Get them out.
Hey, what key is it, man?
It's the one with a little red thing on top, man.
This one here?
Yeah, that one.
Okay, hey, hang on, you guys. I'll get you out right now. Oh, wow.
What's the matter, man?
Hey, man, you'll never guess what happened.
You broke the key off in the lock?
How did you know, man?
Hey, did you really, man?
Yeah, man. I must have turned it the wrong way or something because it broke right off in the lock, man.
Oh, man. How are we going to get those guys out of the trunk now, man?
Have you got a crowbar or something?
Yeah.
Well, give it to me, man. I'll get them out that way. I'll pry the trunk open.
Man, it's in the trunk, man.
Well, how are we going to get it?
Well, I don't know, man. Hey, man, why don't you go over there in that car and ask that guy if he has a crowbar or something?
Oh, okay. Hey. Hey, roll down your window, man. Hey, have you got a crowbar or something we could borrow, man? We like... Oh, wow, man. I thought you were alone. Oh, hey, man. I didn't mean to interrupt anything. Oh, wow. Oh, wow, man. Hey, sorry to bother you, man, but... Hey, we locked some dudes in the trunk, man, and we can't get the trunk open. And I was wondering, could we borrow a rod? I mean, a crowbar? Or something? To pry it open with? Or a screwdriver? Okay, man. Well, hey, listen, I'm sorry I bugged you, you know. Go ahead, continue, man, you know. Wow.
Hey, man, did you get something?
Yeah, but I don't think we'll be able to open up the trunk with it, man.
Hey, man, we got to get these guys out of the back, man. Hey, why don't you go to the snack bar and see if they'll lend you something, okay, man?
Oh, okay, man. I'll be right back.
Yeah, well, hurry up, man, because those guys have been in the trunk a long time, man.
All right. Hey, hang on, you guys. I'll be right back, man.
Hey, hurry up. Ooh, I should have gone with him, man. I got to go to the bathroom. Well, there's no way around here. Let's go by the back of the car. Hey, man, it's raining out here, you guys. Wow, you ought to see this coming down like cats and dogs, man. Oh, it's a cloudburst. Hey, the guy's gonna be back pretty soon, man. Take it easy, you guys. Boy, that feels good, man. My back teeth are floating. I might as well watch the rest of the movie, man. Looks like a good one. I hope the speaker reaches. Ooh, excuse me. What am I saying excuse me for? Ain't nobody here. Oh, good thing. Woo! Fucci que pesta! Oh, my eyes are burning. Golly, them rosary refries, man. I gotta stop eating them. Ooh. It looks like Charlie Chan up there.
Everybody in this room have motive for killing Mr. Taylor. But Mr. Taylor only have one killer. And the name of that killer is...
Let us and gentlemen, snack body man open out of 15 minutes after that is closed for the evening. Thank you.
And now a preview of our coming attraction.
Manhole Productions presents
Derek John
and Chuck U. Farley in the South Sea Saga,
Buggery on the High Seas.
All right, tie that scurvy dog to the yardarm.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Yeoman Bosom.
Sir.
Read the charges.
Aye, aye, Captain. Seaman Gully. You have been charged with the heinous crime of buggery on the high sea. Addy of life.
I'm innocent. I'm innocent. I didn't do it. You gotta believe me. I'm innocent.
He's lying.
I am not.
You are so, you big fibber.
Look, I'm not lying, Captain.
Yes, he is, Captain. He's a big liar.
Look, you shut up or I'm gonna get you.
You already did. That's why you're in trouble now.
All right, both of you, shut up.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Look. I told you to shut up.
But he's a big fibber, Captain. He's lying.
Look, you either shut up or I'll give you what he's going to get.
And what's that?
50 lashes with a cat of nine tails.
50 lashes, he should get at least 100 for what he did to me, the big fibber, you liar.
Tie that scurvy dog to the yardarm, too.
Get your hands off me. You smell like fish, you big brute.
Here, give me that whip. Hoist that dog from the yardarm.
Hey, you're hurting my wrist. This isn't funny now, you guys. Hey, come on. Oh, rip the shirt. How cliche. I suppose you have me walk the plank next or something.
Here, take this, you dog.
Ow! Ow! Ah! Ooh! Yes! Oh, my! Yes! Ooh! Yes! Yes!
Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show for the evening. Thank you for coming. Please leave by the exits and don't forget the speakers. Thank you.
Hey, open the door, man. Come on, open the door. I got my hands full.
Hey, man, where you been, man?
Never mind. Open the door. I'm dropping it, man.
Okay, man.
Here, take the Coke.
Okay.
And don't spill it, man. I spilled half of it on the way here.
Hey, man.
Here's some hot dogs, man. Did you want mustard?
What? Yeah.
Because I got mustard on all of them, man.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
And here's some popcorn, too, man. Hey, the popcorn's pretty good.
Hey, man, wait a minute, man. What took you so long, man?
Oh, I was the last one in line, man. I was really lucky because they were getting ready to close the snack bar.
Hey, well, man, did you get a crowbar?
No, but I got some Crispy Crunch, and I got a Mocha Delight, man.
No, man, I don't mean a candy bar. I mean something to open the trunk with, man. Those guys are in the trunk.
Oh, I knew I forgot something, man.
Oh, man.
I knew it. Oh, man. Hey, are you guys okay back there? Hey, I said, are you guys okay back there?
Yeah, they're giving us a silent treatment, man. They're probably mad at us because we haven't got them out yet.
Yeah, well, we better get them out of there, man.
Well, I don't know. Hey, we could stop by my cousin's place, man. He works at a gas station. He probably know how to get them out.
Okay. Hey, but can we stop at my old lady's place first, man? I was supposed to call her.
Yeah, okay. Hey, we can cruise the Burger Queen on the way over, too, man.
Yeah.
That far out, man. I think Angie's working there tonight, man.
Oh, that's far out, man. Yeah, let's go.
Okay, so that was a piece from Cheech and Chong 30 years ago, if you can believe that. 1973 is when that came out. And odds are, unless you had the records, you never heard that one because... they did play it on the radio sometimes. Even commercial radio sometimes would play things like this, but not this long. Not something that was 12 minutes long. So I figure to kick off our little protest of Tommy Chong being in prison for selling bongs on the internet, that would be an appropriate piece to start with. And yeah, I know, you know, the humor sometimes doesn't really translate well from generation to generation. There's a lot there that, I don't know, just isn't as funny as it was back then, I guess. And then maybe to some people it's hilariously funny these days. Thing is, you know, you have to know something about the past in order to be able to interpret the present. And unfortunately, this guy is sent away, at least partly because of his role in that particular comedy duo and the films that supposedly glorified marijuana use and things like that. It's really a sad state of affairs that we find ourselves in. Well, speaking of sad states of affairs, it's time to read the news. And then we have a special feature that we're going to be getting into, and I advise people who are near the internet to not leave the internet. Yes, keep the internet on, don't turn it off. And if you're driving it in your car, well, either pull over to the side of the road and start using a wireless connection, which, of course, you have a wireless card in your computer that you have with you, right? And there is coverage where you are, of course. Or if you're listening in the future sometime, just go to our webpage that you're listening to this at, and you'll see that there are pictures there. And we're going to be going to those pictures on the internet in just a couple of moments. But first, and don't skip ahead. No, don't skip ahead, all right? It's more fun if we, you know, explore this together. So just get ready if you're on the internet. Just stand by. We're going to have some fun in just a couple of minutes. But first, the serious stuff, the news. Yes. A federal appeals court has unanimously reinstated the October 7th date for California's gubernatorial recall election. Boy, this brings back memories of 2000, doesn't it? One court saying one thing, one court saying another, and the Republicans being happy in the end. That shoots down an earlier decision by a three-judge panel to postpone it because of controversial punch card ballots. Boy, that brings back memories, too. The ACLU says it won't appeal because they're fresh out of money. Judges say their decision to restore California's recall date was based on the state's constitution. The smaller panel had postponed the vote because six counties would be using punch card ballots similar to those that caused the presidential election controversy in Florida. And don't think for a second that there's not going to be all kinds of recounts of the punch card areas in this election, too. And that's going to go back and forth for a while. And then as soon as it's all over, as soon as they finally announce a winner in this thing, guess what they're going to do? They're going to have another recall. Because in California, it's that easy. The dumbest thing I've ever seen. You can just get a bunch of people together who didn't even vote and have a recall election called because, well, they want to get somebody else in or they just want to cause mayhem. But you know what? If I was a Democrat, I don't subscribe to any of these party policy type things, but if I was a Democrat and Arnold Schwarzenegger actually got elected because of this charade, you better believe that the day after the election, I would be going out trying to round up 800,000 of my closest friends to start it all over again. Because this system is just completely fouled up over there. And that's... I mean, you don't even have an allegation of the guy doing anything criminally wrong. You know, just being ineffectual. Well, guess what? When you vote, sometimes you don't get what you vote for. And especially if you don't vote. I bet most of these people calling for the recall hadn't even voted themselves. How fair is that? Unreal. You know, there's a good commercial that's circulating on Canadian TV. I bring it up because I know people won't be able to see it unless they're in Canada or doing what I do. It's basically this woman goes into a hairdresser and sits down and says... starts to say what she wants. And this guy, sitting reading a paper, not even looking up, says, she'll have the spiked hair, the two different colors with a wave in the front and shaved in the back. And she's like trying to get a word in edgewise. And the hairdresser isn't even listening to her. He's considering what the other guy said. Well, that's pretty bold, but yeah, let's do it. And meanwhile, she's like in a dream where she can't speak and this is happening in front of her. And then the caption comes on the screen. When you don't vote, other people make decisions for you. And I thought, wow, that gets the message across. I know what people say, you know, that there's nothing but idiots running right now. But something gets it to that point. And I think that's the democratic process as well. You know, you start locally and it filters its way up. So let's say, and I'm not advocating one party over another, but let's say the Green Party, for instance, had local candidates. You'd have a much better chance, if you supported them, of voting them in locally. Especially if you really got up off your ass and started organizing people around town, because hardly anybody cares enough to do that. And so what do you think is going to happen when the entire county legislature has a majority of Greens on it? You know, this presupposes a few things. The Greens are running locally, and people are supporting that particular group. You suddenly have a power base you didn't have before. And then that moves on to the next level. You can't just start and get a Green president. Although we're pretty close right now. I'm sorry. I shouldn't take pot shots at him. But boy, I mean, come on. Walking around a target. Did you see him today in front of the United Nations? Oh, good Lord. Not at all apologetic for the way he's treated that organization with disrespect over the last year or so. And instead expecting them to help out, help clean up the mess. Help clean up the mess that he and Tony started. That's not going away anytime soon. Yes, U.S. President George W. Bush has told the U.N. General Assembly the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq was the right thing to do, but he's come under fire for taking action without specific U.N. authorization. U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan and French President Jacques Chirac implicitly rebuked the U.S. for taking unilateral preemptive action and called for the body to play a full part in rebuilding Iraq. I don't really understand how anybody could argue against an international body taking part in rebuilding Iraq at this point. But with regard to the preemptive attacks, they, according to Mr. Annan, they could set precedents that resulted in a proliferation of the unilateral and lawless use of force with or without credible justification. Man, I wish he was our president. I really do. Kofi Annan is an incredible diplomat. He's intelligent. He knows things about the world. He knows how to calm people down. And in the end, get what he wants. Which is mostly people talking about their conflicts and resolving them in a hopefully peaceful way. Anyway, 1 year ago, President Bush told the same UN assembly that it had to deal with Iraq or risk the UN becoming irrelevant. And now there are mounting concerns that the U.S. military is getting bogged down in a widening guerrilla war in Iraq, hampering reconstruction efforts. But the president urged the U.N. to put divisions over the war behind it and move forward with stabilizing and rebuilding the scarred country. According to the BBC, which report I'm reading right now, they say there was little applause for Mr. Bush's words, with the speech falling decidedly flat. Did you read that on CNN? You read that on Fox? I don't think so. The speech fell decidedly flat, yes. So words get stuck in my mouth. And how come the United Nations General Assembly is not carried on TV anywhere? How come there isn't a UN channel where we can watch this kind of activity? I find it fascinating, and I think a lot of people do. Yeah, I know, there's a whole big move to kick the UN out or something like that. I don't understand the logic behind this. Then what do you have after that? You just have a bunch of warring nations, with the U.S., of course, leading because they're the only superpower left. I guess it makes sense from the U.S. point of view, but from the world point of view, it makes no sense at all. Anyway, in a report coinciding with the meeting, United Nations Food Agency said several million Iraqis remain desperately hungry despite a better cereals crop and the lifting of economic sanctions. The UN's Food and Agriculture Organization and the World Food Program said nearly half of Iraq's 26.3 million people were estimated to be in need of humanitarian aid. Meanwhile, the White House has flatly rejected French proposals for the early handover of power to Iraqi politicians, describing them as unworkable. French President Jacques Chirac, who led diplomatic opposition to the invasion of Iraq, also joined criticism of the U.S. in his speech. The war launched without the authorization of the Security Council, he says, shook the multilateral system. The United Nations has just been through one of the most grave crises in its history. No one should assign themselves the right to use force unilaterally and preemptively. No one may act alone. You disagree with that? I mean, he's not talking about whether you're right or even wrong. He's talking about acting outside the confines of the world body. You make the world body pretty, I guess, as Bush says, irrelevant. And that's a danger to the rest of the world. Unbelievable. And did you catch this? This was the front item on BBC World News last week, and I didn't see it on CNN. I know it's been mentioned, but it certainly wasn't a top story. But President Bush said, he said this, there is no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved in the September 11th attacks. No evidence! Good Lord, what were people marching for in the streets of Washington, D.C. and New York City? What were they saying? Back in the early part of this year. Just that very fact. Which was not said by George W. Bush until now. Did he say that there was evidence that Saddam Hussein was behind 9/11? In a very cagey way, he did. I don't think we can find an exact quote that says something to that effect, but by saying Al-Qaeda is responsible for the attacks, by saying that Al-Qaeda is friendly with Saddam Hussein and that they're all over his country, which they really weren't then and certainly are now, but by saying that, that left the impression in many Americans' heads that Saddam Hussein was behind it. And I know this is true because I've talked to many people who believe this. Many intelligent people who believe this. You see, there's such a thing as inference. There's such a thing as saying something in a particular way to plant an idea in somebody's head. And that idea has sprouted. And 70% of the American public, according to various polls, which I've seen published in the Washington Post, Time Magazine, CNN, 70% of the American public believe that Saddam Hussein was connected to the September 11th attacks. Why do they believe this? Could it be that the idea was planted in their head? And could it be that that's the reason why people initially supported this war, that so many people were trying to stop? People in the streets of New York and Washington, D.C. and throughout the country, people in the United Nations, people in all kinds of places around the world. And, yeah, it didn't work. It happened anyway, but maybe the next time it won't happen because those words will be taken a little bit more seriously. Anyway, continuing with this story, which also comes from the BBC, the comments no evidence that Hussein was involved. The comments among his most explicit so far on the issue come after a recent opinion poll found that nearly 70% of Americans believe the Iraqi leader was personally involved. He did, however, repeat his belief that the former Iraqi president had ties to al-Qaeda, the group Riley regarded as responsible. Critics of the war in Iraq have accused the U.S. administration of deliberately encouraging public confusion to generate support for military action. And another thing that I saw today on BBC was a report on casualties in the United States. Not in the United States, but casualties to United States troops in Iraq. And apparently those numbers are far higher than we've been led to believe. Something on the order of 6,000 soldiers have been hospitalized for all kinds of things, including triple amputees and horrible things like that. And it's all being kept very quiet. 6,000, think about that. And, of course, the death toll, too, is getting higher every day. And that's the other thing. You know, I mentioned this a few months ago, I believe. But they're not naming the people that get killed anymore. People get killed every day, it seems, and they just don't have names. I did see on CNN a couple of nights ago, they had a little tribute to, I think, three or four heroes. This was a little bumper for a commercial. You know, they were going to a commercial, and they decided to give, you know, three little salutes to these soldiers who had died in Iraq. And I thought, wow, at last, you know, they're finally naming the people that are dying over there. And then I looked at the dates of the deaths, and they're from July. This is now September. They're only getting the names now? They were all from pretty much the same period of July, too, so it seemed as if they were getting a list of some sort, and a really delayed list at that. All right, some I think, good news is the end of Voyager. I'm not Voyager, Galileo, I'm sorry. I've got the other probe in my mind. Galileo was circling Jupiter for 8 years. I don't think it's good that it got destroyed, but I think it's good that for 8 years it gave all kinds of information to scientists, and this is what exploration is all about. This is what knowledge is all about. The daring robotic explorer that circled Jupiter and its moons for 8 years plunged into the scorching atmosphere of the giant planet on Sunday, a fiery end to one of the most productive space missions ever. Now, here's the thing. NASA charted the collision course to prevent Galileo from striking Jupiter's largest moons, which could possibly harbor life, and contaminating them. And so Galileo kind of sacrificed itself to protect future life. That may one day be a threat to the human race, but never mind that. But it got me thinking, you know, that was a very nice thing of NASA to do, obviously. But what if they decided to do the exact opposite, you know? What if they decided, no, we're going to crash it into Titan just to see, you know, what kind of mutants we can create over there? Who would stop them? You know, who governs that? Who would say that that's a violation of what? You can't send bacteria to another moon or another planet? We can't even get the rules and regulations right for this planet, let alone other planets. So I guess it's a good thing that Al-Qaeda isn't launching probes into space, because undoubtedly they'd be they wouldn't be as humanitarian as NASA has been. But let's hope we see more such missions that that teach us things about the world, about worlds, that is. Okay, and now it's time for our special feature, which I've been threatening to do for a while. Okay, this one item that I was supposed to read. The United States has said, in case you were hoping, they said they will miss by more than 3 years an international deadline for destroying its arsenal of chemical weapons. Oh, boy, did you even know we had chemical weapons? Of course you did. You knew that, right? But there are people who think we don't. Yeah, we're just going to miss the deadline. Who's going to invade us now, I wonder? We're not destroying the chemical weapons on time. Oh, but it's okay in our case. Yeah, because we really need them. The Defense Department said last Wednesday would not be able to liquidate 45% of its chemical stockpile by April 29, 2004. They can really think ahead, can't they? They won't be able to destroy it by then. Mm-mm. As required by the 1997 Chemical Weapons Convention. It's not like you didn't have enough time to plan this out. Only 23% of the U.S. chemical weapons stockpile has been destroyed thus far, the Pentagon said. Where is the U.S. chemical weapons stockpile, I'd like to know? Can we send some weapons inspectors and find out? I mean, Hans Blix isn't doing anything right now. Why not put them to use? And I'd like to know where they are. It's my country. I think I have the right to know where the chemical weapons are so I don't buy a house next door. I'm concerned. As anybody would be. Okay, to the website, which, if you don't know, is www.2600.com/off-the-wall. If you go there, you will see a link to Emmanuel's, Pictures from Europe or something like that. I don't know. I don't have that page in front of me. And if you're listening in the future, simply go to where you got this show from, and you should see a link to the page from there. And if you don't have internet access and you're driving in your car and you're getting all upset now, don't worry, because I'll do my best to describe these pictures as best as I can. And radio is the medium where you can make pictures out of sound. Yeah, that's the magic of radio. So they say. How do you know when it's time to change pictures? Okay, well, just make sure you get to picture one, all right? Okay, everybody on picture one? Okay. When you're on picture one, what we're going to do is we're going to play a little, like when you saw slideshows in school, we had tones that told us when to switch to the next slide. So we've been able to gather some tones, I believe. Okay, we have some tones that we're going to use. We're going to use the same tone so people don't get confused. And can we just have the a sample tone so that people know what the tone sounds like? Ah, okay. Oh, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? I've heard that tone before. Huh. Well, anyway, so that's the tone to signal change to the next slide, and there's a little arrow at the bottom of the screen, which you click on that. And by the way, if the picture is too small, you can click on it again to enlarge it, but I don't think you get the arrow if you do that, so be careful. Okay, so the first picture that we're looking at now is just a typical Paris street scene of, cars coming up the road and things. I gotta move the screen closer to me so I can see what's going on here. I'm not quite sure why I took that picture, to be honest. It's just, it shows you... Oh, I know why. Yeah, you see the crosswalk there? That's it. There's a faded crosswalk. There's no traffic light there. There's no traffic light at all. You can just cross that street, and you see two cars coming at you on this highway that has something like four lanes. And if I was to step into that crosswalk, which looks really faded, those cars would theoretically stop and allow me to cross without any cussing whatsoever. Cussing's forbidden. And they'd have to wait. They'd have to wait until I cross the street. And can you imagine that working here? Even with green lights, you have problems sometimes. But this is something I found to be true in just about every country I was in on my 6-week tour. When I got into Russia, yeah, things got a little hairy, and they weren't quite as obliging when you cross the street. But I sort of expected that. Okay, on to the next picture. And here you see another a sidewalk scene. Gives you an idea of how crowded the sidewalks are and how the street comes right up to the sidewalk there. They have these little bars to keep the cars from going onto the sidewalk. You have your European dog there just sitting watching things going on. And you have your ice cream stand, which is very important in every city in Europe. They just sell ice cream on the street everywhere. You don't see ice cream trucks. You just see ice cream stands. The thing that I thought was kind of weird, though, was that even when I was in places like Belarus and Poland, they had ice cream stands everywhere, but they all said Nestle on them. And I was wondering, you know, what does Nestle have to do with this? These things that they're selling don't look anything like what Nestle sells. I wonder if Nestle just puts their name on the stands to get advertising. I don't know. I don't know what that's all about. Maybe somebody can fill me in. Okay, next shot. This is in the Paris metro. You may recall this a few years ago. There was a terrorist attack. That's right. The French are no stranger to terrorist attacks. A lot of people think that they don't understand what we're going through over here, what we've gone through. But several years ago, in 1995, actually, according to this, it says July 25th, 1995. And I remember this, too, because I had been in Paris not too long before then. There was an explosion on a commuter train, and some people were killed. I believe 8 people were killed by a bomb that was on a commuter train. And this is the station where that took place. And this is a better shot of it with all the flowers. I'm not sure who brings all those flowers there, but there's a whole bunch of flowers on the floor of the subway station with a little plaque on top. And that's the memorial to people who were killed in that terrorist attack back in the 90s. Okay, here we go. This is the train station called Gare du Nord. It means Railway Station of the North. There are many train stations in Paris, big stations, stations the size of Penn Station and Grand Central. And this is my favorite because it has trains coming they come from the north, basically, hence its name. That's where you get the Eurostar to England and various other trains that go to other places like Germany and Holland and that kind of thing. And here you see the statues that are on top of the train station, and they're really kind of interesting looking. You know, all these... it's one thing Paris is amazing about is the statues. You see statues everywhere. And here is a train station with statues on the top, just facing every which direction. And if you look here, that's another shot of the statues with the word Nord underneath it, N-O-R-D, which is, of course, French for north. And here you see the main side of the building with all kinds of glass and... 6 more statues just staring straight ahead. I mean, they spared no expense as far as putting statues up in that city. And here is a shot from where I was staying down into the street. Gives you a sense of the mayhem that goes on in intersections. Again, no traffic light. You see people crossing with all kinds of vehicles, motorcycles, buses, cars. And that's a one-way street, too. But in that particular direction, it's one-way. It's one-way going. Looks like that car is going the wrong way. Actually, I don't know where that car is going. It was a one-way street. But, again, if you went into the crosswalk, everybody stopped for you. And I thought that was just a pretty cool thing. This is an example of some of the architecture, which you'll find in the high-rise section of Paris. Yes, they do have a high-rise area. And that's where you see all kinds of weird-looking buildings, very modern-looking, arches, things like that. You see like a sort of a glass globe type building there and some very angular looking modern towers. And yes, there's another shot from a different direction. Very exciting for those of you who aren't watching on the internet, I know, but we're trying to make it as appealing as possible. For those of you who have lost your place, as of this tone, we are now at picture number 12. Now, that's this is an interesting section here. There's this big arch in that particular part of town, and all these people gather on the steps underneath it and just sort of hang out all day long. And it's just the most relaxing place. You know, you just kind of hang out there, and you can see all the way down the Champs-Élysées. You can see the Arc de Triomphe. You can see the Eiffel Tower in a different direction. It's just so picturesque and serene. And this, you can go up on that building, too. You can go all the way up to the top and You don't really see much of a better view because you're already on top of a hill as it is. And then you see a bit more of the building. That scaffolding looking thing in the middle is an elevator, actually. And you also see people talking on the payphone in front of the building. That's a French payphone, actually a French payphone kiosk with three different payphones in it. And they're very popular. These buildings are nearby, too. It looks like somebody threw a bunch of paint on them. They're skyscrapers that are multicolored. Yeah, they're just like, they got splotches of red and splotches of blue. And I wonder, why don't we have skyscrapers like this? How come our buildings are boring looking? These are, the amount of architectural differences I saw in such a quick period of time, it was staggering. Very impressive. Hang on, I just want to look at that for another second. Yeah, it's just amazing. Here you see people sitting on a bench, and for some reason, someone plopped a big, huge TV screen in front of them. It looks like they're watching television, but nobody was paying attention to the television. I don't know why that was there. They were just kind of hanging out, looking straight ahead, I guess, at the television. But, you know, there was nothing on. They were just kind of, some of them were sleeping, in fact. But it just looked really weird to stick a television set in front of all those people. Couldn't figure that one out. If you look carefully down here, this is standing in front of that arch. You see all the way in the distance the Arc de Triomphe. And Paris is like Washington, D.C. times 10 as far as the way everything is set up. Everything is in perfect symmetry where things are in a straight line from one to the other. And you just are tempted to walk until you can't walk anymore. It's unbelievable. Ah, yes, and there are fountains everywhere as well where you can bring your pet dog to just sort of hang out and watch him get all wet inside the fountain. I think you'd get in trouble if you tried that here, right? You can't bring a dog into a fountain and just sort of sit back. Can you do that? The Washington Mall? Can you bring a dog there? I don't know. I'll try it. I will. Okay, where are we now? Ah, yes, the phone store that sells Iridium phones. You don't see that in New York. You don't see satellite phones being sold on the street like this. But yes, Inmarsat, telecommunication, parasatellite, maritime, aviation, terrestrial. And yes, you can buy Iridium phones there. They were closed when I went by, so I wasn't able to find out how much they cost. I'd sure like to know. And here you see a close-up of a French payphone. Which, again, are used quite a bit more than payphones here. I don't know why, because everybody has cellular phones as well. But they're always crowded. And that's, well, this one wasn't, obviously, because I was inside it. France Telecom runs these. And yes, a New York City taxi was spotted on the Champs-Élysées. I don't know what that was doing there, but someone bought it, apparently, and took it to Paris. And there it was parked in the street. Now, you may also notice something about traffic signs in Europe. You'll see the 30 in a big red circle. And that means 30 is the speed limit. The red circle basically means no. So it's kind of confusing. You might think it means don't go 30, but it means don't go above 30. And then if you look to the left of that, you'll see another 30, but you also see another sign, another circle. It's got blue and it's got a slash through it. Perhaps somebody could write in and tell me what that means. We don't have time to get into it tonight. Oh, yes, the Arc de Triomphe, of course. And look what's in the lower left-hand corner of the screen. It's one of those smart cars, and you see how the smart car fares in heavy traffic. And, boy, that is heavy traffic. You have something like 6 or 7 different lanes going in a circle there, and not all the cars are going in the same direction at once. You see one car there sort of cutting across. Incidentally, there is no crosswalk there. That would be suicide. You have an underground crossing. But doesn't that smart car look good? Yeah. I found out after last week's show, one day afterwards, on the smart.com site, there was a news story posted saying that smart cars will be coming to the United States in 2006. Guess you gotta wait, but I could sure use one now. And yeah, here we have, this was a crosswalk. This street with something like 8 lanes of traffic, you could cross, and all those cars and buses would stop for you. I thought that was simply incredible. And there, of course, above that building is the French flag flying high and proud. And here we have the view going back. You can see the Arc de Triomphe in the other direction, and you also see the other arch, Arch de la Défense, I believe is what it's called, sort of cutting through that one further in the distance. Unbelievable city. Still definitely worth spending a day walking around. And here's a statue which would be considered child pornography in this country. Because you got a bunch of kids who aren't wearing any clothes, I don't know what exactly they're doing, but they're grabbing the leg of this guy who looks to be in anguish of some sort. And if you go one picture more, you see something that's, you know, with the Ferris wheel in the background of something that definitely would be outlawed in this country and probably smashed to pieces. And I'll probably get in trouble for even showing it on the radio. Quite a concept, eh? Here's a train station, some old trains. These are trains that go pretty much throughout the country, not international trains, I don't believe. Those are the more modern trains with the kind of Acela-looking look to them, but they go a lot faster. And there's a commuter train of various sorts that goes to local places. Yes, beep, please. Ah, good. Here you see a whole bunch of those Acela-looking trains being ready to speed people all across Europe. And here's the Notre Dame Cathedral. I'm sorry we have to race through these, but we have to do that. You can look at these at your leisure at any time. The Notre Dame Cathedral, unbelievable tower, worth the climb all the way up to the top, which I took. And if you look, you see that's I'm very proud of this picture, in fact, because it just looks so cool, looking straight up at the building. But look at the bottom of the shot. Look at all those statues. There must be about 20 statues there. Every single one of them different, you know. It's unbelievable the care that was taken putting that thing together. Oh boy, this is another part of the building where it gets kind of creepy after a while, seeing all these faces staring at you from the building. All these different faces just looking at you. Whew, it's kind of creepy. And that's the staircase that you take all the way up to the top. And it's not for people who are faint of heart, I'll tell you that right now. This is one of the gargoyles that appears on the very top of the cathedral. They're really kind of scary, too, and they stare out over the expanse of Paris. Every one of them is different. Every one of them has this really almost demonic look to them that haunts me to this day. I'm very proud of this shot, too. It's one of the gargoyles looking over at... see that? Isn't that nice? That's and it's the Eiffel Tower in the distance. Looks like he's looking at it proudly. It looks like he's going to take a bite out of it. And I'll bet there have been horror films written about the gargoyles coming to life and getting all huge and things like that. And, this is a different gargoyle. It looks similar, but it's completely different. And every gargoyle is custom made for whatever mood struck the person making it at the time. As we come to the home stretch here, there's the smart car again. It's a different smart car, obviously. But it's parked downstairs. And I decided to take a picture of how little space it takes in a parking space and how cool it is. You can just basically go anywhere with that thing. Oh, boy. I really have to have one of those. Next beat, please. There we go. This is something you can't do in the United States as well. Take dogs into train stations. Yeah. And dogs behave themselves in train stations. They know. They know what not to do. They do that outside. Here we have people that don't do that outside. And that's a cat, obviously, on a restaurant table in Amsterdam. I'm not quite sure what the hygienics of that are, but that's a pretty common sight to see as well, cats sitting on tables. And as we get to the last of the pictures, we see another crazy-looking car that I don't know what these ones are called. This was in Amsterdam. And, boy, it's parked behind a bus, so it looks really, really tiny. I just figured that would be... a fun thing to take a picture of. Maybe somebody could write into us, otw@2600.com, and tell me just what that was. And that was our whirlwind tour of Paris and a bit of Amsterdam. We'll try to get to more of it next week. Maybe not quite as rushed. All right, this is Emmanuel Goldstein. The hour went by really fast. No thanks to Tommy Chong for taking up 12 minutes of it. But we'll be back again next week. Hopefully we'll take some phone calls then. We'll be on tomorrow night on Off the Hook on WBAI. Stay tuned now for the blues here on WUSB Stony Brook. And this is some really early Joe Strummer from the 101ers. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.